Kings chapter number 6, 2 Kings chapter number 6, 2 Kings, if you have trouble finding, it's right after 1 Kings. That'll help you a little bit. And we're going to look at a passage of Scripture. And while you're turning, I'll tell you something blessed my heart when I come in this morning. It wasn't a blessing to the individual, this young boy. He was had tears in his eyes, and he was crying, and I went up to find out what was wrong, and he was just slapped tore out of the frame, upset that he missed Sunday school. He was in tears that he missed Sunday school, and that was a blessing to my heart. I thought, my goodness, what a lesson adults could learn out of the mouth of babes speak. And amen. What a blessing. 2 Kings chapter number 6, if you're there, say amen. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam. And let us make us a place there where we will, may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore, said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Now, I don't know if you was paying attention as I was reading, but you don't have to be a Bible scholar to know that was a miracle that we just read. Because iron don't float, much less swim. And the prophet of God said, Show me the place where the axe head went into the water, where this heavy chunk of metal went into the water. And he showed him the place, and he did something extra. The Bible said that when he was felling the beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried out, it was borrowed. The man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. And I'm not going to preach on that this morning, on that little phrase I just mentioned, but I have before. But it's amazing how many pictures and types that God sprinkled and wove all throughout the Old Testament, pointing to a tree, a cross where his son would be crucified. And you're talking about a miracle. It's a miracle that iron did swim, but the greatest miracle that ever has taken place in the history of humanity and of the world is that the Lord of glory would come down to this earth and let his creation crucify him. Amen. And he did that because, well, the Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth should not perish but have everlasting life. But this morning, so if you came in this morning, you've never been saved, I want you to know there is a tree that has made a difference for you. And the tree The Bible said, cursed is the man that hangeth on a tree. Jesus intentionally, on purpose, was born, lived sinless, and died on a tree, and was buried, and then 3 days later rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave for you, so that he could redeem you and forgive you of your sin, and you wouldn't have to die in your sin and pay for your own sin, but you could freely have the gift of salvation. Praise God. That's a message in it. That is the gospel. And the Bible said, listen, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. You say, well, why'd you take the time to do that? Because I wanted to give the gospel. You know why? Because now you have heard the gospel, and that means you have heard enough already. If I was to say, close your Bibles, and it's invitation time, you have already heard enough to get you to heaven if you respond to the simple message of the gospel. Amen. 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 But I'm not going to preach on that the remainder of the time. I'm going to preach on the subject, how to recover our cutting edge. This man, this young prophet, this young student that was under Elisha, they were there, and they were in a place that they had outgrown, and so they asked, could they go down by the waterside and take their axes and cut wood and cut trees to build something bigger in a bigger area, bigger environment? And he gave them the okay, and so they got down there, and as they were chopping wood, one of these young men, one of these young preachers, he didn't have an axe, and so he borrowed an axe, and as he was chopping the wood right beside the water, bloop, 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 and there went the axe, and I'd say he lost his cutting edge. You say, well, what does that got to do with me? I want to take the time to introduce this message this morning so we will all understand. From time to time, we as believers lose our cutting edge. We as Christian people, we as the church of the living God, and basically, had he not acknowledged his problem, and I'll get into all this, basically, all he had left was a piece of wood with nothing on the end of it. What was cutting trees down? What was penetrating? What was producing and moving things and being productive? Now, he was just beating wood against wood. He was just fighting the air. There was nothing productive coming out of his hands or out of his life. And until he acknowledged the problem and called out and said, I've got a problem that I need fixed, and it's bigger than me, and I can't fix this myself, and I need help from somebody higher than me, he wouldn't have got help, and he would have just went through his days and went through his life being mediocre at best, but probably dropping even lower than that. And I'm sad to report to you, so many Christian people have just become content swinging a piece of wood against another wood because we've lost our edge. We don't have that cutting edge anymore. And as Christians, my goodness, if anybody in the world has a cutting edge and should be able to penetrate to the heart of humanity and get the word to people that can get them to heaven and get them out of hell, it ought to be, listen, it ain't Washington, it ain't politicians, it ought to be the believers. And when we lose our edge, it's a major setback for the cause of Christ. And when the church loses its cutting edge, that's magnified. And so I want to take the time to look at this subject, how to regain our cutting edge. As a consequence of this young man losing the axe head, he was unable to continue his work. He had lost the cutting edge. We may look at this story and wonder, well, what's in that for me? That's why I'm preaching it. Because I promise you, there's areas in our life that we've got dull and we've lost our cutting edge. We've lost our sharpness. We're not penetrating anymore. We're not cutting anymore. It's absolutely critical that we maintain our sharpness and not just fall back on tradition and be okay with beating wood against wood. The axe head in the text we just read represents the power of God. The axe head represents the power of God to get the job done. In other words, as Christian people, we are inept. We are not qualified or capable of getting God's job done that He's called us and commissioned us to do without the helping hand, without the power of the Holy Ghost of God. That axe head and what gives us our sharpness and what gives us that thing that helps us to cut through is the power of the Holy Ghost. We can't save. We can't convict. It's the Holy Ghost of God that does that work. I'm telling you, we've got good. Listen to me. Listen to me for a minute. We've got good at doing our job and playing church. We know how to come in. We know how to dress. We know how to sing. We know how to say amen when we're supposed to. We know how to do all. We've become almost professional churchgoers to the point that you hardly can't even tell the difference to the naked eye. Most people can't tell the difference when it's real or when it ain't. But I'm going to tell you something. Man-made, man-produced services will bring nothing of productivity. There will be no soul saved because man cannot save. It takes the power of the Holy Ghost. And when a church has lost its cutting edge, when the Holy Ghost has been quenched, and when the Holy Ghost has been grieved, and we've lost that, then there's nothing here to compel men to come. There's nothing here to compel women and our young people and our children to come and to get right with God. And we must have the power of the Holy Ghost. And we can't afford to lose our cutting edge. But I'm afraid we have. We ought not be satisfied. You know what these boys was hollering? Y'all heard this before when they out there and they hacking away and they chopping away and that thing gets to ready to fall. Timber! And there she falls. And then another falls. And then another falls. And boy, they were shouting timber all around. I mean, trees were falling. Things were moving. Things were happening. They were building. They were progressing. Until this man lost his cutting edge. And can I say, when we're not seeing souls saved, that's the number one identifier that we've lost our cutting edge. Because that's the one thing we cannot produce. It takes God to do that. It takes more than going through the motions. Listen, he could have lost his axe head and went on chopping and went on beating and nobody else would have known the difference. He could have faked it. He could have acted like he was working, but there would have been nothing. No trees would have been falling. No timber would have been happening. And I'm saying there's a bunch of us as Christian people that's lost our cutting edge, meaning we've lost that fellowship and that indwelling of the Holy Ghost to where we've grieved and quenched Him to the point that we see no trees. Does it bother you how little unique it is to see somebody walking out and get saved? Now thank the Lord we've been able to see that in our church. Thank the Lord for the people that's been saved in this year and in the past 6 months. They scattered all throughout here. God has reached down and saved people, and I bless His holy name. Ain't that wonderful to be a part of a church where God, the Holy Ghost, is still moving? Do you know? And before you think I'm preaching down to you and saying you are bad, and no, I'm simply saying we can't afford to get that way, because there are churches on every corner around this country and around this globe that, listen, the Holy Ghost is not welcome there. And nobody's being saved. Amen. When we go for any length of time at all without seeing souls saved, it ought to bother us. We ought to check and say, are we still sharp? Do we still got the cutting edge? Have we lost something? You know what he did first thing he did was he cried, alas! He said, I've got a problem. He admitted right off the bat, I've got a problem. You know what we most apt to do? Keep on doing what we're doing and keep on acting. Basically, you've heard it said this way, fake it till you make it. And that sounds good, but that ain't good. But I'm going to tell you something. Faking it is what we've got good at. And you can be dull and fake it. You can have absolutely lost your whole axe head and only be holding a piece of wood and fake it. But that ain't going to produce anything for the glory of God. No, you know what has to happen? You got to realize, and I've got to realize, and our church has to realize, number one, it involves, if we're going to get our cutting edge back, number one, it requires and involves concern. Verse 5 says, but as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. He was concerned immediately. He didn't give it time. Listen, the axe head may have still been sinking before he said, problem, I'm in trouble, help! And we ought not to ever get to the place where we feel like we can't cry out for help. But what we got good at doing is hiding our problems and pushing our problems under a rug and procrastinating and saying, I'm okay, it'll be okay. I'm here to tell you, when you realize you got a problem, that you ain't what you used to be, that you ain't as close to God as you used to be, it's time to get right there and say, hey, I'm concerned about this enough to look into it, enough to go to the Lord and say, help me, Lord. Something ain't right. The wood ain't falling like it was. My life ain't penetrating like it was, and I've got a problem. As soon as this man feels the axe head fly off, he cries out in despair. He knows that he cannot continue what he's doing until he recovers the axe head. And that's a good lesson for me and you this morning. We cannot continue doing what we were doing for God until we get concerned, when we get dull, and when we've lost our own accent, our own sharpness. That's something to be concerned about. The first step in recovering the power of the Spirit is coming to the place where we know we don't have it anymore.
And what the modern church has tried to do is replace the Spirit and replicate the Spirit and the moving of the Spirit with this sensationalism and with emotionalism and people getting goosebumps and bringing all kind of plays and all kind of bands and all kind of worldly things into the church that will try to replicate the power of God. And listen, the power of God you cannot replicate. You can move people's emotions and you can play with people's emotions, but I'm here to tell you, there is no replacing the power of God. There is no replacing the Spirit of God. And I'm convinced that many people walk through this life thinking they are filled with the Spirit. Hear me. Most people sitting on Baptist pews are convinced they are filled with the Spirit when they have actually lost His power and don't even know it. They're trying to live for God and to do His work in the power of the flesh and don't even realize that He's nowhere around. Trying to be a Christian is extremely hard when the Holy Ghost ain't living it through you. Let me rephrase that. I just made a false statement. I said it's extremely hard to live the Christian life. It's impossible to live the Christian life. You can't do it. And sadly, that's the condition of most churches and most Christian people today. They're trying to live the Christian life apart from being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Let me read you a verse out of Judges 16. You say, could people really lose the filling of the Holy Ghost and the power of God in their life and not even know it? Can that really happen? Let me prove to you where it happened. It's happened in my own life. I can tell you without reading the Bible it's happened because it's happened to me. But I'll show you a man in the Bible that you all know. Listen to this verse. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." Samson, that great, mighty warrior for God, that strong, strong man for God. "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He thought, "I'll get up and shake myself. I'll go right back out into the enemy's territory and I'll whoop them like I have 1,000 times." And he had no idea that the power of God had left him. He wist not. He had no clue. And you know the end of Samson's story. You know what happened after that? They plucked his eyes out. They put chains around him and they paraded him through the streets and made a mockery of him. And listen, I'm here to tell you, there's many Christian people who wist not that the power of God has left their lives. And it won't be long if you stay on that journey and on that same trajectory. The devil will poke your eyes out and he will chain you and he will make a mockery of you in your life. If you go on and read that, the Bible does say, and here's a happy note, thank God. The Bible said, howbeit his hair began to grow again. Now I'm simply saying, you can lose the power of God, you can lose the filling of the Holy Ghost in your life, but God will come back to you and he will restore you, he will sharpen you again, and he will absolutely help you to do it. Samson did more in his death than he did in his life. So don't let the devil tell you you're too far gone and you made too bad of a mistake. No, God can restore you today. He can put you on the whip rock of heaven and sharpen you and get you back to your cutting edge where you can penetrate and make a difference in the lives of those you love. Amen. I wonder whether we care enough to search our own hearts this morning. Our own lives. And the life of our church, and ask an honest question to discover whether or not what we are doing is of man or whether it is of the Spirit of God. In other words, are you putting on a show? Is our church putting on a show? Are we faking it till we make it? Because I'm here to tell you, listen. If not, they ought to be trees falling. You ought to be hearing timber. What am I saying? I'm saying they ought to be souls being saved. They ought to be lives being radically changed. They ought to be marriages being put back together. They ought to be, wonderful things happening. There ought to be things that we could go out and give God glory, and we could come in the house of God and point to there and there and there, and not just something from 40 years ago, but say, look what God done in our church today. And it ain't a parading of the flesh, but it's the Spirit of God moving in mighty power. That's what we need. So would you ask yourself that question and be honest about it? Say, search me, oh God. Search me, Lord. Have I lost my cutting edge? Am I as close to you as I've ever been? Listen, I know you don't hear much preaching on the filling of the Holy Ghost anymore, but can I ask you this morning? Are you full of the Holy Ghost? Do you even know what that means? You have the Holy Ghost. If you saved, when you got saved, you got all the Holy Ghost. He's in you. What? The Bible says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? He dwells in you. So it ain't a matter of if he's there, he's there. But the Bible does say that there is a filling, just like your truck runs out of gas. Keep driving on E. Take it from a professional in this area. You will run. You will begin to sputter and spit and sputter. And I've even weaved to try to throw some gas in that fuel pump. 2 weeks ago, I felt it dying on me. Sputtering. I said, oh Lord, don't let me run. It's been a long time since I run out of gas. I said, and I weaved and I weaved and I threw just enough, and I got going downhill from the red light and I coasted right into the cricket or whatever it's called. I said, thank you, Lord. But I've run out of gas so many times, I'm a pro at it. I know what it's like to run out of gas. It's awful. It's you stranded. What am I saying? I'm saying if we do that physically in our cars, that happens spiritually, and there has to be a filling of the Spirit. Where is your gas tank spiritually? Are you full? Some of you wouldn't dare get below a quarter of a tank. And I'll tell you, or ask Brother Jeff. He'll tell you, he's a way better mechanic than I ever thought about being. Ask him if it's good on your fuel pump to run it on empty and suck all that trash up off the bottom constantly. It ain't good. It ain't good at all. It ain't good spiritually to run on empty either. No, we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. The fuller we are, the sharper we are. Amen? The more on the empty side we are, the duller we are. And dull don't cut like sharp does. Amen? So it involves concern to get our cutting edge back. I got about 6 points, so we'll make this a series. I'm not going to preach this one, but I want to tell you, it also involves, it ain't enough to be concerned about it. In verse 5, same verse we read, not only was he concerned about it, but he confessed it. You know, there's a lot of people might leave out here this morning concerned over the fact that you ain't where you used to be and that you ain't full of the Holy Ghost and you ain't where you ought to be, but nothing's going to change with just being concerned about it. You must get to this point of confessing it. You know, you can be concerned where I started this message, So you can be concerned about being lost and in your sin and still die and go to hell. Because being concerned ain't enough. You must confess. You must confess. You must admit to God that you are a sinner. You must confess to God that you are what He said you are, a sinner in need of a Savior. Concerned ain't enough. You must confess to get saved, and you must confess to get sharp. You got to admit, I ain't where I'm supposed to be. And we'll pick up there tonight. Let's stand.